Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a child, I remember when the rating system for movies was instituted. Anybody else remember that? Seems like it was a long, long time ago. But when they did that, all of a sudden, Mom and Dad were quick to point out to my brother and I that we couldn't attend this or that movie because it was rated M, for mature audiences only. That rating told us that there was something about this movie that wasn't appropriate for children, and if most were honest, not really appropriate for adults either. But that M identified two groups of people. There were those who could and those who couldn't. Certain people were considered adult enough to view the film and were allowed to go in, while others were not. But I remember thinking that someday I would be mature enough to go to those movies and no one would be able to stop me. In our epistle lesson this morning, Paul is making the same point as he declares, "But I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." In essence, what he says is what he said last week in our epistle lesson, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. This is for mature audiences only." As we hear what Paul says to the Corinthian Christians, we need to ask if he's speaking to us. Are we among the mature? And what does it mean, really? What does it mean to be mature in Christ? I know we know the basics of the faith. God created the world, man sinned, Jesus died to solve the problem of sin and restore our relationship with God. But how often do you wonder that there must be more? That if we were really mature in our faith, would it be more vital and meaningful? And there's some truth to that. A mature faith is a growing faith, a learning faith, a daily faith. But we must also clearly understand what Paul means by mature. When we think of mature, we often think of someone who's reached a certain chronological age or someone who has a particularly sensible approach to life. But Paul isn't really speaking here about two different types of Christians. What he's saying is that there are two different types of people in the world. The mature, or the complete, are those who trust in the wisdom of God, who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And the immature, or incomplete, are those who trust in the wisdom of this age. That is, people who listen to those who would change the message of God to suit themselves. And there's a great difference, indeed. In fact, it can be the difference between eternal life and eternal death. While Paul, Apollos, and in the first chapter of Corinthians, he mentioned Cephas, that is, the Apostle Peter, while they all taught the same message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Corinthians were more concerned with the person who was teaching rather than what they were teaching. And that put them in danger of following the one who seemed more eloquent or wise or popular. And although they weren't in any danger from these teachers, there were certainly going to be others who would come with a different message, a message Paul identifies as the wisdom of this age, who would lead them away from Christ. There are many today who trust in the wisdom of this age. People who, like the Corinthians, listen to those who seem eloquent, wise, and popular, but don't test their teaching against the eternal truth of God. And sadly, some of those who claim to be leaders in the church today are among the most blatant deniers of the truth. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. I know you've heard the name Barna Research Group. But this organization was founded in 1984, and it studies the religious beliefs of American Christians. Recent research of this group, I mean like within the last couple of years, shows a stunning lack of basic Bible beliefs among Christian pastors across all U.S. denominations. George Barna, the executive director of that organization, recently said, "Our survey demonstrates that large numbers of pastors have abandoned even the most basic and hallowed biblical teachings for ideas that now permeate our culture. Because pastors teach what they believe and are incredibly influenced by culture, many churches are becoming centers of secular thought. Perhaps without even realizing it, thousands of pastors have become leaders of a movement away from God." In another study, a study of evangelical pastors, it was found that determining moral truth is up to each individual because there are no moral absolutes that apply to everyone all the time. That the Holy Spirit is not a living entity, but is merely a symbol of God's power, presence, and purity. That having faith matters more than which faith you have. That reincarnation is a real possibility, and a person who is generally good or does enough good things for others can earn a place in heaven. Now remember, these are pastors who believe this. Another highly reputable group conducts a survey every other year that they entitle the State of Theology. And this study surveys not just pastors, but also a broad range of lay people who profess to be Christian evangelicals. Almost one-third agree with the statement that Jesus was a great teacher, but was not God. 1 in 5 believe that the Holy Spirit can tell me to do something that's forbidden in the Bible. And almost half believe that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. And that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Now remember, these are people who consider themselves evangelical Christians. It doesn't include those who admit that they're liberal or progressive and don't accept the Bible as being the inerrant, revealed Word of God. A number of years ago, Bishop John Spong, who kind of fits into that, very definitely fits into that category, declared that St. Paul was a homosexual, stating, "Our primary understanding of God's grace came from a self-hating gay man." And another pastor indicated that Jesus' followers were so devastated by his death that the story of the physical resurrection may have simply been spin control. Rather than Christ being the resurrected Lord, the church is the resurrected body of Christ. Compare that to what Paul wrote, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." Those are just a few examples that demonstrate the difference between those who would trust in the wisdom of this age and those who would be mature through the wisdom of God. God's wisdom, the truth of Jesus who came to this world to fulfill God's will by offering himself as an all-sufficient sacrifice for our sins, is hidden to those who rely on worldly wisdom. But Paul's warning is not just about or spoken only to these extreme examples. In fact, the contrast that Paul makes in chapter 2 when he says, "Among the mature we do impart wisdom," and then chapter 3, "I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh," those are particularly stinging because he's telling the Corinthians that they're acting like spiritual children. They don't wish to listen to Christ, but prefer to be driven by their own ideas of right and wrong, truth and folly. And it's this type of pride and selfishness which the world uses to entice people away from God. When I was a kid, I thought that going to M-rated movies was a signal that I'd finally arrived, that I was grown up, that I was able to make my own decisions. Since then, I've come to realize that being mature means not just being able to do what I want, but also being able to choose not to do certain things that are not good for me. The world would tell us that we should live it up, that we're smart enough to take care of ourselves, that we shouldn't deny ourselves any short-term pleasures. But the Lord reminds us that life is more than the temporal things of this world. And if we rely on our own self-centered pride, we're in for great disappointment, both in this world and in the life to come. One person put it this way. He said, "It's my pride that makes me independent of God. It's appealing to feel that I am the master of my fate, that I run my life, that I call my own shots, I go it alone. But that feeling is basic dishonesty. I can't go it alone. I have to get help from other people, and I can't ultimately rely on myself. I'm dependent on God for my very next breath. It's dishonest of me to pretend that I am anything but a man, small, weak, and limited." So living independent of God is a self-delusion. When I'm conceited, I'm lying to myself about what I am. I'm pretending to be God. My pride is the idolatrous worship of myself, and that's the national religion of hell. God's wisdom is just the opposite of pride. The message for the mature is the message of the cross. Jesus Christ, crucified and raised to life again. And those who cling to this message are those who are mature enough to say, "I can't go it alone. I can't ultimately rely on myself." So the question remains, is Paul speaking to you? Are you still a spiritual infant, or are you among the mature? Ultimately, you have to answer that question for yourself. But don't be fooled into thinking that there's something too mysterious or hidden here. Paul's message for the mature is nothing more and nothing less than the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you're in Christ, you're among the mature. You are complete. God has made you whole. Doesn't mean you've got your act all together. It doesn't mean you don't sin. But you know that Jesus died for those sins. And as such, with that in mind, Paul reminds us that we can't even begin to imagine what wonderful things God has in store for us in heaven. In fact, he writes, "As it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Without Christ, even though you may possess all the riches and all the wisdom of the world, you have nothing. But with Christ, though you may have nothing or be nothing in the eyes of the world, you really have everything.